Well, in actual fact, I have two special guests with me this afternoon. First of all, let me introduce Neil St. John, who you just heard singing, the voice of Benidorm. Neil, I do tend to play that one for you whenever I can. Well, yeah, I love the song anyway, but I think you do it nicely, and obviously it's a pleasure to play it. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be back, Vince.
I'm just going to pull that mic up just a little bit there for you. And with you this week, and starring at the Wheel Tappers, Johnny Casson.
Hiya, Vince.
Hiya. And it's nice to meet you, Johnny, because obviously, you know names, and I'd walked down the main street, I'd seen the billboards, and obviously, you know, if you're in this business, you look to see who's done what. And, you know, you've been five times with Des O'Connor, haven't you?
Yeah, playing back till I get it right.
And how's the feeling of, you know, an artist when you get the call for a show like the Des O'Connor show?
Oh, it's fantastic, you know, because Des has been a star, like, on telly, like 45 years. You take people for granted, you know, you see him all the time, you think, but he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he's like a terrific pro to work with, you know. To do stand-up comedy sat down on a sofa, it's difficult, you know. Think about it. And the first time I did it, he came backstage, and I'd not met him a minute before I was due on, and he said to me, "You've got the gig, don't try and impress me, you're here. Work the audience like you would do." And so it just took all the pressure off, you know. It was brilliant.
And he does tend to bring lots of unusual guests to his show.
Yeah.
Down in the West Country, when I was obviously down in Cornwall, we had Jethro.
Yeah.
Now, nobody seemed to have known Jethro. And I think through Jim Davidson, that was where the connection first came.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's an unusual act.
Well, it was like, you know, you get comedians who work in Liverpool, Scousers. They never trap the parochial. They won't go out their own area. And Jethro were like that.
Yes.
She went on Desert. I did the comedians with Jethro 20 odd years ago, the very last series of the comedians, with the old comedians, it was me and Jethro, and we were chicken and chips at the bottom of the bill.
Yes.
And he was such a nice lad, I liked him then, and then he's a massive star now.
Well, now, the funny thing is, you know, he's got his own club down in Cornwall.
Yeah.
I say Cornwall because it isn't, actually. I'll tell you the story is, he thought he was buying in Cornwall, and the border sort of curves round, and bits of Devon sort of come, including, they intrude almost into the county of Cornwall. You wouldn't expect it to be in the other county. And he bought this club thinking it was going to be in Cornwall, and it isn't, it's in Devon. And I don't think he doesn't like many people reminded him of that. Okay, so now, Johnny, with the, the greatest of respect, when I first looked at the name, I didn't immediately remember you, which is bad. I mean, I should do, because if you've been on the comedians, like many people, you know, we all know the faces,
yeah.
And sadly, you know, sometimes in this business, unless it's always right in front of you, you don't realise who you're talking to, do you?
Well, you think people are dead anyway. Old comedian, you think, is he still alive? And you work with them. But modern television, my philosophy about modern television, it's like it's people with nothing to do watching people who can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the performers of the ilk of the old comedians, you don't see anymore.
No.
I mean, I was on the last series when they had the 20th anniversary about 5-6 years ago. I did that. I did all six. And they got 8 million viewers, but the television people think it's passé.
Yes.
They don't think they're proper people who watch television, you know.
Well, it's a bit like the wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know lots of people who would love to have the wrestling. I mean,
the afternoon was wonderful, wasn't it?
I mean, Big Daddy and, you know, the
he was a friend of
Zorro
mine,
and all those. Yeah.
He's from the same town as me, Big Daddy.
Let's go on to that then, because I always like to find out where people are from and, you know, how you started in the business, that sort of thing. So can you go over that for me?
I was a drummer in a group in the 60s, Vince, called the Cresters. We're a 60s group, and we made five or six singles. We did okay, but we worked with the Beatles and Little Richards, Major Lance, Lee Dorsey. We worked with everybody.
Brilliant.
I said, but you don't think about it until you think about it later on. You think, my goodness, I worked with him.
Yes.
And we had a singer that died. He got cancer, unfortunately. He was only 25. So we kept the group together, but we started doing comedy. And then the big theatre clubs opened, like Battley Variety Club and the Wookie Holiday in Liverpool and Allison's. And we started doing comedy just to fill the gap in the group. And getting laughs is very addictive, you know. It takes your life over.
Mm.
And so I started working as a comic in 1983. And I've been in debt ever since.
Now, do you have an immediately identifiable style?
I do on stage. Yeah, I've got a funny voice, as you've gathered, and I've always marched to the sound of my own drum beats. I've never watched comics. I admire comics, but I don't watch them for influence. I've always had my own ideas about things, you know. And if you're fairly original, you know, you can walk down that street and it's worked for me, you know. I used to wear short pants. I used to, I was a drummer, you see, so my bass drum pedal used to get stuck up my trousers, so I used to roll my pants up, and people used to comment on it and say, oh, I can't remember your name, can't remember your group, but you roll your pants up. So I cut my pants off.
Yes.
And then it became a visual gag then, when I was a comic. I used to say, I've just been on Fleetwood Market, and I said, it said 25% off all trousers. Yeah. It was a great visual gag. I did it on telly, so it's gone now. And,
yes. That's the trouble, though, isn't it?
It's a monster.
You know, and people don't realise that if you go on television and become the mega stars that, you know, we all sit and watch,
yeah.
What a struggle to get the material then.
You must keep moving, because not only that, you're up against loads of other comics. If you do your own thing, they just nick it off you.
Yes.
You know, the worst scenario for me as a comic, I was in Ireland a bit since this, I was on with another comic, he said to me, I've got your video, John, I think you're fantastic, you know, and I said, thank you, it's a nice compliment. He said, do you play golf? I said, no, I said, I play every day, so you think, oh, he's lazy. So he don't work on his act, he works on his golf course, so that's, you know what he's going to say, he goes on and does 25 minutes after my video. Mm.
Well,
me, you know.
Well, when I first came to Benidorm, I did the Talk of the Coast, and I was looking around, and I saw at least six other artists, and you know, the paper and the pen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, okay, Hal Roach coined the phrase, you know, write it down.
Write it down.
But
yeah.
But it is a bit frustrating. The only thing that I would say is that there are different ways to tell a gags.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
And
gags are gags, anyway. Gags are currency, Vince.
Yes.
You've got your personal bits in there that that they can't rob off you. They can. I don't make gags up. I make my personality up, the little bits, the filler bits.
Yes.
I mean, like a dear friend of mine that you've had on, Big Frank Carson, he rings me up and he says to me, hey, Johnny, I'm getting roads with that gag of yours. I said, which one? He said, this. I said, have you pinched it off me, a big fat? He said, no, the jokes, they just, I said, no, when you made them up, Frank, they're not the part of your life, you know, but he's such a lovable fella anyway, you know.
Yes, and of course, the big thing is, I mean, we've got this thing at the moment, of course, for George Roper coming up shortly.
Yeah.
And prior to that, Johnny Hackett. The big thing that I want to try and help to, in my own way, promote is that the hard work people put into trying to make life nicer for other people, which is what I think a lot of show business people are about.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've said, if I was in this business for the business, I wouldn't be in this business. You know,
yes.
I'm a simple man, and most comics are okay. I went to George Roper's funeral, you know, and there were about 30 comics there. It was a wonderful turnout.
Yes.
And I did his last gig at Liverpool Empire with him. Mm. And he worked fabulous, you know. You think.
Now, we didn't realise until we got talking earlier last week, well, early this week, actually, when we met, and you actually worked in the old Hamilton Club in Birkenhead.
Yeah, Hamilton in Birkenhead, yeah.
And of course, you know, people like Pete Price and Billy Butler, the peers that I sort of grew up with, and, you know, we did our formative years, if you
yeah.
like. And then in our own way, we all go off and, you know, you think you're the sort of centre of the universe, don't you, for a while?
Well, yeah, the great thing about it, you get influenced by people, don't you? You think, oh, I'd like to be like him.
Yes.
And then one day you are like him, but you're different, you know. And
yes.
I used to, when I first worked with Bernie Manning, he used to slay me. He's got his critics as Bernie, but not in my eyes. He's been a fantastic fella. And one of the funniest men that's ever lived, you know. I mean, his material might be a bit out of date now. Well, not out of date, but out of time.
Yes.
But it's... the fella's fantastic, and I thought I'd love to be like that, and I am, anyway. I'm fat.
I was fortunate. I had the occasion to meet him about it was only about 4 weeks ago, when he was at one of the other venues in town.
There's one or two venues.
Yes. Well, of course, the big thing is, you know, this town is definitely upgrading bit by bit. You can see all around the town there are little things, each in their own way, looking really, really tasty. You
well,
know.
I'm very impressed with it. I haven't been here for 10 years. I've never worked in Benidorm before. I mean, but that I've been in a few of the clubs on my way to work and that, but the Wheel Tappers room, it's a dream to work. The audience are very close to you.
Yes.
And Neil's got it. He's got it perfect.
Well, of course, I'm fortunate in the respect that I was here just as Neil was beginning this concept.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we sat down and we talked, because Neil came in on my show, I think it was very, very early days for me here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, Neil, that, you know, when we were talking, you had this dream, didn't you, of a sort of variety show, and it was fairly all avant-garde then, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I just basically wanted to go back to the old method of entertaining, and that was variety. I think the entertainment world... not just Spain, but England, back to England, the variety has just gone out of entertainment.
Yes.
And I wanted to put a show together whereby you could come, sit, and relax and enjoy a selection of acts, from dancers to singers to comedians, and without being smutty.
Yes.
You know, that's most important for me. It's a family entertainment. And yeah, that's what we wanted to create.
I think you're absolutely right, because, you know, time and time again, Frank Carson even said it the other day when we were talking about things. You know, he actually said that he was a bit disappointed, in fact he put it a bit stronger, with some of the acts that are here and what they do. And what amazes me is when you've got a room full of senior citizens. Now, I was always taught to respect my elders, you know, course, I mean, it's just the way I was brought up. And I think your material has got to be part of that, hasn't it?
You're catering, Vince. If people want sausage and chips, you give them sausage and chips. But you don't. That audience in the wheel tappers, nobody caters for them anymore. They're starved of entertainment. They're desperate to enjoy themselves, and they do.
Well, what I noticed, you see, I first came in, I can say this now because the UK bar is gone. The time I first came in, I mean, you know, like any sensible person, I look around to see what I would like, where I'd like to work. And I went into the UK bar, and the guy that was the compere put it, the act went on, and then he went outside to have a cigarette, and he bunged on some really, really loud disco music. And it was like all the older people, so the heads were sort of going, they couldn't talk to each other. Whereas, you know, at the Hamilton Club, where I said, I think I really learned my business there. You know, I was always told you have your three acts on, and, you know, if you're comparing and you've got a comedian coming on, you don't tell a gag before the comedian comes on. If you've got a singer coming on, you tell a gag. Yeah. You know, if you've got a variety act, you can do what you like, but you look to see what the guy that's following you is going to be, what he's going to do, and how you'd like to present him. And of course, the other big thing is you make them feel so good that the minute they're stepping on that stage, they know they've got a colleague who's prepared to bring him back off, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah. This was taught in the old school. You know, we're talking about the old comics. This was a generation that knew how to handle crowds and how to handle people, and were bought to respect people. I think a lot of the younger acts today have missed out on this.
Yes.
You know, and it's my idea to try and re-educate these new acts. If a new act comes to me, I hopefully influence them. I'll explain to them what they should be doing and respect. You know, that's all you need. It's respect for the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will respect you.
The modern ones don't get. I'm not being a boring old what I call them, but they don't. Presentation's important. You know, if people come to see a show, you've got to get changed, you've got to dress up, you know, put a show on for them.
Yes.
It's show and business.
Well, absolutely right. And do you know what? I mean, obviously, I could give you the names of the places, but I won't, for obvious reasons as I say this. You know, you turn up at maybe some of the smaller places, and, you know, they look at you because you've got your bag with your gear with you, you know, and then you'll say, you know, where can we change? And you get things like the toilets.
Yes.
And you say, well, sorry, you know, that's not a place I change in, you know. And it's not just here. I mean, back in the UK, isn't it, as well? Yeah. Well, the kitchen's another one.
Yeah.
You know, just stick your nice coat on top of all the greasy fats and everything.
Yeah, but Marky one, I got changed in a disabled toilet. They gave me a bigger room.
That's my changing room.
Funny enough, they are quite a good room to change in, the disabled. Yeah, there is one hotel I do here, and you know, it is a lovely hotel, lovely, beautiful big room, and they have the disabled room, and it's it is where you can put your, and especially with the railing.
Yeah, you can hang yourself.
Especially when you're short as we are.
If you get short, you call for help.
Yeah. Now then, so tell me about the Wheel Tapper show then. So obviously Johnny's headlining.
John is the headliner for this week. Johnny unfortunately leaves us on Friday, don't you? Going back to England. But starting on Sunday, and it's his 7 nights a week, so the show will continue. But starting on Sunday, we have the headliners, the Grumbleweeds. Great friends of mine.
Yeah.
They're very good now. They're two-handed now, but they're terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've condensed the act a little.
Yeah. I had a caller on the other week. I'm just going to put my heating up.